Een week of vier geleden waren we weer eens te gast op een van onze favoriete plekjes. En dan heb ik het over zaal België in Hasselt. Die avond stonden daar Ray Pacino Ensemble en Sunburnt Hand of the Man. Buiten dat we een fantastische avond hebben gehad, hebben we ook nog een interview gedaan met bijna de voltallige band Sunburnt Hand of the Man. De Sunburnt Hand of the Man, dat bestaat intussen alweer meer als een decennium. Ze opereren in diverse verschillende samenstellingen en even zoveel stijlen passeren de revue. Beschouwen ze zichzelf nu als band, collectief of misschien wel als een soort project?
It's just whatever we need it to be, you know, on any given night. There's a few different people involved in the project. There tends to be a steady crew of people who travel to perform. And it depends on who's looking at it, I think, and what it is. So.
What's it for you?
Oh, it's just a way to stay alive, really. You know, so, I don't think I would be happy if I wasn't doing something like this. So I'd probably be depressed and suicidal. So this is a very social, it's a good way for me to interact with my friends that's not self-destructive.
We've been playing together for a long time. These two cats have been playing together since like 96, not earlier than that. You know, these guys have
been
started
playing together, John and I, in 1993.
Thanks.
And then the band, Sunburn, started in 1996. We've gotten to know each other, and
we all have our own, you know, we all bring our own language to the table, and we've learned to adapt our own languages to each other's language, you know, and some nights it takes a little while for like that Tower of Babel to kind of come to its peak, and then we all figure out the spot where we all meet, and then sometimes.
But it's just like when you talk to anybody, whether how well or how not well you know them, you find a way to communicate. So it's the same thing as having a conversation with anybody.
We all know there are no mistakes we can make in this band, you know, musically. Maybe socially we can fuck up, you know, or anything, any number of ways, but when it comes
And then deal with it.
Yeah, then deal with it.
Because some negative shit happens.
Negative shit would happen if you were in a Beatles cover band or a fucking, you know, a bebop unit, you know, or a rap. If you were a rap DJ, you'd get in the same situations, you know. Just with us, it's just the way, you know, we found people that we can feel comfortable around all the time in our real lives. Because when we tour like this, we have to spend all our time together, you know.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. The psychic space gets tight before you hit the stage. And if you're lucky, you can tap into that and produce something else that's like a puzzle of our psyches that forms an image, hopefully, to the crowd. And it will be different to everyone who sees it, but they'll feel like they saw something and not just a joke, not just a bunch of people banging on sticks. And, you know, there's a little more meaning to it.
Je hoorde het openingsnummer van de laatste officiële release van Sunburnt Hand of the Man. Dat was het album Z dat eind vorig jaar verscheen op Ecstatic Peace. Maar verder met het gesprek dat wij hadden afgelopen maand in Hasselt. De naam van de band is niet een erg voor de hand liggende. Hoe hebben ze dat bedacht?
Sometime in 1996 we would make short improvised films. And one of them was I had been drinking. So I got drunk and then I covered my face and wrapped my head up with scotch tape. So that on camera it almost appeared like I was elderly, you know, I was wrinkled and old. And I just went on an improvised stream of consciousness monologue in a British accent as an old man and about things I had done in my life. And somewhere in there I was at one point, you know, I was like, once I was in this wonderful band called Sunburn Hand of the Man. And then because of the state we were in, the logic, you know, it just ended up being the band name. It was at a time we weren't aware of everything that was going on around us. At the same point that we came out with this long name, I noticed about it, you know, within that same period, suddenly a lot of bands emerged who had very lengthy titles. I was like, oh, no, because that's where we were trying to avoid that with our band. My initial impulse about why, at the time, I insisted we call the band that was I wanted people to almost be embarrassed when they had to say it, you know? You know, like, it's before you even hear the music, you know it's a difficult project, and then, you know, like, you're gonna have to work with it, and if you don't want to fuck around with it, then that's okay. But it's, you know, and so it worked. It was hard. Even I, like, you know, you meet people from your family. Oh, you're in a band? What's it called? And you're like, oh.
Oh, can let your dog speak. Now it's horrible.
We're equally as comfortable, and we're becoming more comfortable playing on larger stages. But we're more, you know, we're equally as comfortable playing in a room in somebody's house, or, you know, on a stage like this in front of, you know, 200 or 300 people.
We're really not in a gallery with no instruments whatsoever. And we've been, that's part of our Sunburn's history, has been heavily into, you know, some sort of a theater, performance art, film.
I think in a way that we get this concept that we can just show people that we can do the same thing we do with bass, drums, and guitars. You'll get a similar feeling when we don't have any of that stuff. We can still make something happen that's uniquely Sunburn, Hand of the Man. And we've been working more and more on that, like removing the rock element altogether for a night, you know. Or, you know, I guess we've done that all along, actually.
For a long time, we didn't do that stuff. We used to do movies on the 4th of July and stuff like that, you know, all the time. There'd always be some movie stuff happening at the house, and then, I don't know, that stuff kind of faded away as music, you know, the social aspects of it.
There's always been a non-musical aspect to Sunburn since the first show. The first show we ever did, we had
definitely people
running around the room dragging things and fighting. We had some strange things happen on our first concert, actually. A middle-aged woman who was drunk got on stage and started taking her clothes off. Her daughter was there. Her teenage daughter was at the show, too. And we had a woman who was a friend of ours, who was a performance artist, was dancing with us, and she kind of incited a very strange energy out of the crowd. She had grown her hair to about 7 feet long, and she let it all down. She was running through the crowd, swishing her hair around.
Is there a big difference between doing a tour in the States where you live, or Europe, or maybe Asia or something?
There's a big difference between doing a tour in the States and a tour in Europe, but coincidentally or ironically, it's exactly the same touring England as it is touring the States. The same, you get the same treatments and the clubs are operated under the same system. And in America and England typically, but not always, of course, there's some great places to play in both, but typically if you play at a club type environment, concert's over, you have to leave usually. You don't get fed anything, and if you do, it's not usually the greatest, you know, and accommodations are always a variable. You never know. You might get something great, but you might have to sleep in a filthy floor in the, you know, in a cold, dark room. But in Europe, you almost have a standard that you come to expect, and that's why it's a cliche in America for bands of all genres, whether they're hardcore, rockabilly, ska, you know, drum and bass artists. Everybody knows in Europe, and that American bands always have a easier time and a bigger following on the continent, I think. In some European cities, I find a great deal more. I'll see people who I feel are bored or not enjoying themselves as I'm performing from the stage, and then they'll approach me and say, you know, but I like the way about 40 minutes into it, it quieted down, and then the drummer came in with a special rhythm. Like they're actually paying incredible attention, which you don't see that in America ever. You know,
they're actually really thinking.
Yeah, so that's kind of shocking, because it's the same guy you thought was bored to tears is actually like really theorizing and philosophizing. And, you know, one reason why I think that most bands, American bands, do better in Europe is that Europeans understand, I think, at least most of them do, that there is no state funding for any artistic endeavors whatsoever in America. So the people that do this are really committed to it, you know. And most people that do something like we would do, or something like this project that's not ever really aimed at receiving money back, because it's, you know, it's just by its very nature is rather uncommercial, you know. That, you know, they're doing this at the expense, perhaps, of their future. You know, it's a gamble, because, you know, while it could be like we could be working regular jobs, raising families and making money and trying to accumulate property like Americans are supposed to do, we're doing this other thing, you know, and it's a risk. And I think that it's something, a tacit understanding amongst much of the audience in Europe, that this is a little bit different, you know, than if the band came from, say, Belgium or you know, Holland you know what I mean?
True. You know, we come over here, we wish this kind of thing could happen in the States a lot more frequently, and it does happen, but there's just so many more people in the States.
It's all luck in the States if you end up being able to be paid to be creative. It's really a matter of, like, you've talked to the right person on the right day, and you've got something, you know, or you've hipped into fashion somehow. You can sneak in through the fashion window. To actually be consistently creative and unlimited by someone else's authority, It's just a commitment that I think that the people appreciate. And also, you know, it's just, we've reached a funny state in the global economy 5 years ago, the first time we played in this venue was 5 years ago, and it was easier then. There was more money to throw out at Strange Things, and travel wasn't quite as expensive. You know, now airline tickets, airfares are really exorbitant. The cost of petrol, of course, we all know, is insane. And to find people willing to spend money on, you know, something that, like this, which you can't, you're never gonna, you know, as a promoter, if you're familiar with us, you're not exactly, even if you've seen us five times, you're not quite sure what's coming. You know, like what you're gonna get, it could be different. So you can't bank on the same. Like a lot of great bands, like Lightning Bolt or Wolf Eyes, you see those bands, you know what's going to happen. Sunburn changes a bit. You know, every time you see him, it could be a totally different thing. So there's not that, there's something you can't exactly bank on as a promoter. But you, there's another thing that you can bank on, which is the interesting thing about us, I think. So.
Is it hard to get a tour together nowadays?
We pay for our own plane tickets, and then roll the dice and hope to make the money back, and we've come up really, we've won every time. But, you know, it's harder and harder as the prices go up, and, you know, we're not gonna start playing Top 40 anytime soon, so.
You know I'll be doing some time, all right, yeah. If you got legs like a pony, hair like a horse, face like a walrus, but I love her, of course, she's my girl. And she's looking fine. And she's a mighty fine woman. Lord knows I'm glad she's mine. She got her hair up in ponytail, skirt in pieces. She looks like E.T. eating them recent pieces, yeah. She's a dirty, nasty gal. But she drinks like a fish, so Lord knows I'm glad she's my pal. Well, she had an abortion. She ate some pills. She went up and she ran off in the middle of the hills. Hey, hey. She's a crazy old girl. But she straightened her hair, but I like it best when she wears it with a curl. Whiskey in the morning, beer for lunch. I don't need nothing, but I don't need much, and hey, hey, I'm just that type of guy. Wake up early in the morning, and I wonder why. Money in my pocket, no gas in my tank. I ain't got a friend in the world, and I ain't never gonna say thank you, no, no. I ain't got nothing to thank you for. Am I supposed to tell you I'm grateful for all this poverty in this goddamn wall? When I was drinking, and I got to thinking, and one of you bastards in this room be stinking, cause you're wrong. It doesn't take that long to get from here to there in the middle of thin air. Well, that's wrong, dude.
Last week we were stuck in Leeds for like 5 days. We had some shows fall through in Ireland, so we didn't go. So we stayed in Leeds. We put out five new releases, just like stuff that's been edited over the last, I don't know, 6 months. We always record everything. We practices, you know, we play a lot in the house. So we don't have a practice space these days, so we can't play as a full band unless we go on tour. So we go on tour all the time. But when we go home, we'll go in the studio with Kieran Hebden Quartet. He's coming over. And we'll go into a studio for 3 days in the States and record another record with him. And we'll do another one for Ecstatic Peace as well. and we just keep putting out self-release stuff. It's like it's fun. I feel like if I didn't put out CDRs or if I wasn't working on something handmade, or I'd go fucking nuts. You know, it's like something I do. It's like, you know, it's like painting or writing or something like that. You know, I like editing music and coming up with the package and stuff like that.
Thank you. Thank you. Maybe about